Okay? I want you guys to pretend that you're out in California at in a black Primitive Baptist church this morning. Okay? And I want you to pretend that you're going along with their methods. Okay? Now, it's fine most time for y'all to be quiet, but this morning I don't want you to be quiet. Okay? I don't care if you have a quiet spirit. I probably ought to be more quiet than I am sometimes. But I'm telling you, when I get excited about the Lord, I just can't be quiet about it, okay? And so, you know, they have a policy there. If a preacher says something they don't like, they say, But, man, what they say if they like it. They say, "Preach it, brother! Hallelujah! Praise the Lord!" Man, they got statements I can't even remember. I was preaching out there in Brother John Henry Ford's church years ago. And man, I'm telling you, I got started and people started coming by and shaking hands with me while I was preaching. And there were people over there shouting. And for every person that was shouting, there were two ladies fanning the one that was shouting. But I love it. I love it. I mean, and you know what? This Christian church pastor and his wife decided they wanted to stay over. We'd been out there on a business trip, and I told him we're going to stay over for Sunday and go out to church. We know a black pastor out here. He said, "Could we possibly stay over too?" And you know what I was thinking? You have two new experiences for you. You're going to be in the Primitive Baptist Church for the first time, and you're going to be in a black Primitive Baptist Church. And so after that day, his wife said, she was pretty quiet, but she was so excited. She said, "Y'all can tell about any aspect of this trip, this week, you want to, but let me have Sunday morning." And when she was sharing with a group there in this business meeting back there, she said, "When Brother Billy got up there and started preaching, said, I was so scared. These people started saying amen and praise God and all these things. And then they started shouting. And then I just knew he was going to forget something he was going to say." And, you know, one of our young men there in our church, he was sitting over and he said, "Brother Billy, I was just thinking, what you don't know is that was just like saying, sick him, Brother Billy." And so I just want you to say, if you don't like what I'm saying, if you don't believe it, but if you get excited and you want to go where I'm asking you to go, then I want you to get excited and get in the boat. I want this boat, I want it to be a boat, I want it to be a gospel boat, and I want there to be a big banner, and as much as I like our American flag, I don't want it to have an American flag on it. I want it to have a big banner over it, and the banner is what we've been hearing about. The banner of love. And this banner is so artistic. It is so, man, listen. I want you to be ravished with love this morning. I want you to feel that way. Listen, God in heaven wanted you to have it so much that He sent His only Son into this world to suffer and die, and you don't have to wait to heaven till you get to heaven to be happy. Listen, weeping may endure, Psalm 126 says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And I wouldn't care. I wouldn't care if that was on my tombstone when I finally leave this earth. I wouldn't care. And that is, Brother Billy's had some weeping in his time, but joy cometh in the morning. Listen, we have the greatest year of Jubilee. We celebrated the 50th year over there at Harmony Hill this year. And you know, that was really the kind of a follow-up of an Old Testament thing where they had every 7 years they would release debts. They would let the land rest. They had a sabbatical year. Okay, they had 7 of those, and that was 49 years. But then they began to prepare for the 50th year, the year of Jubilee. And they began to vex their souls, chasten their souls for sin. They began to really repent in the best way they knew how at that time and get ready for the year of Jubilee. And I can just hear the shofar. I can just hear the trumpets begin to blow. And listen, the trumpets are blowing here. The trumpets are blowing. They're not waiting for that final jubilee. The trumpets are blowing. And they're telling us there's a year of jubilee. There's a time to come up to the mountain. Come up to the mountain. And what I had been meditating on and thrilled to see things referring to that was the whole beautiful topic in Joshua 14. When Joshua had been at war all his life, and finally, his final orders from the chief was to divide the inheritance. And so when he was getting them ready, the 9.5 tribes that he was going to divide the inheritance, before he did, there was one man that stood out amongst the others, because he was Joshua's buddy that went over there 45 years before, and he spied out the land, and he came back like Joshua did with a good report. And he said, yes, there are giants. The ten kept on talking about the giants over there. They said, we would just be a prey to them. Because we're just like grasshoppers, and they're so big. These giants are so big. And Joshua and Caleb came back with a different story. Yeah, there are giants over there. But if you'll only trust God and rebuild not against Him, these will become bread to us. Their power will dissipate. It'll leave. And so now 45 years later, he had been promised at that time, Moses, the servant of the Most High God, Moses had promised him that where his feet trod up there around Hebron and around that mountain, that would be his inheritance. So it wasn't a new thing. There were no lots cast for that mountain. There were no lots cast for Hebron. It was already a done deal that this would be Caleb's. But he came and he said, give me this mountain. Do you know when it comes to material things? When it comes to material things, oftentimes we ask for too much. When it comes to the things of the kingdom, we so often ask too little. We ask too little. And I want to challenge you today, don't be afraid to ask for the mountain and say, God, take me to the mountain. Take me to the mountain. Listen, there's a mountain of God's holiness. There's a Mount Zion. It is a place of broad rivers and streams. It's a place above this world. It's a place where we can get a better view. We have a better vantage point. We can see out over the landscape. That mountain, I'll tell you, you could see the land of Canaan from that mountain. But up there, I understand that those hills around Hebron even raised, they were very fruitful. They even would raise beautiful grapes and things. They weren't like some of the mountains of my home state of Arkansas where it wouldn't sprout peas if you had a sprinkler on it all the time. But these were different kind of mountains. And listen, the mountain of God's house is something. You need to ask for the mountain. You need to ask for something better. You need to ask for it. You need to ask God, God, put me where I can not only serve you best, but where I can rejoice the best. I believe that in God's kingdom we are to rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I believe we're to be ravished with love. I married a wonderful lady. I shared with you some years ago that when I used to write her when I was in the service and when I was in the Navy, and I used to write her, and I shared with you that, you know, nobody, when I'd get a letter there in mail call, nobody had to beg me to read that love letter. I read it, and then I read between the lines. But here's a book better than those love letters. This is God's love letter to you and to me. And He says, I love you. I love you. You know what? My wife loves me. She can't do some of the things she once did. She has some very serious health problems. She's not sick in bed now, but she has some chronic problems that keeps her from being in a physical way what she once was. But my love is not based on that. My love is based on commitment. And I love her, and I will love her. I am committed to love her. There's never been a question. We've had our ups and downs, and like we've had some pretty tough times to face. But there's never been a question whether I should hold out as long until death do us part. There's never been a question about that. But God is not limited. God is still calling us to the mountain. God is still calling us up there. I want to ravish you with love. I want to bless you and make my face shine on you. I want that for you. We don't need to keep saying, well, I'm going to barely make it here. I'm going to drag my feet here, but it'll be better in heaven. No, I want you to understand that God wants to ravish you with love right now. Right now. And so, brother, dear sweet brother, I can't think of any way that you could have opened wide the gates any better for me this morning than to hold up the banner of love to us. And that's the one on this boat. That's the flag. That's the flag. So this gospel boat, you get in that boat and you are committed. You tell God, as did Caleb of old, give me this mountain. But for all you young people and all you older people, and I don't see any real old people in here this morning, but if there were any, I'd say no matter. Praise God. Mountains, spiritual mountains, are for young folks. And praise God, they're for old folks too. Caleb was not a Johnny come lately. He was not a young person cutting his teeth. He was 85 years old. He's got it on me about 14 years. And listen, Caleb was not saying, hey, bring me that rocking chair. He said, give me this mountain. Well, what's up on the mountain? When Joshua and his army had come in and conquered the towns and the cities around, they had reduced Hebron quite a bit. But the mountain had not been conquered. The ringleader of the giants still hung out up there. And listen, this man said, give me the mountain. Give me the mountain where he hangs out. Anak and the Anakims were the ones that the other 10 spies right over there at Ishkol or whatever the name of the, however you say it, they saw those giants over there, and that's when they come back telling how big they were. But Joshua and Caleb saw something else. They saw the grapes that were so big that they had to put a kind of a pole over their shoulders and put the big clump of grapes over that and carry it on their shoulders. It was so big. So you can spend your time looking at the giants, the problems, the heartaches, the sorrows, the disappointments. And I'm no stranger to them. But I choose to not focus on them. I choose to look at the grapes. I choose to look at the grapes, the fruit, the joy. I choose to say, Lord, let me finish my stay. Let me finish my course on the mountain. And give me this mountain, Lord. And whatever the giants are, and here's his credentials. Three times in the 14th chapter. And any time God says anything three times in one chapter, he wants you to take note, okay? Just in case you hadn't figured that out. But he said he had followed wholly the Lord all his days. Three times. Does he want you and I to remember that? Does he want us to be encouraged by it? I'd say yes, he does. Those are the credentials you need, young people. Follow the Lord. Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth, so that the evil days come not. And parents, whatever your age, remember wholly the Lord from this point on. That's what counts. You can't go back. You can't undo. Like our dear, my precious, sweet, dear Brother Jim, he can't go back and undo that he didn't do when his children were small. But he sure can go on now, and he sure is. And I believe he'll see a better day amongst his children. And I'm praying for it. Just every time God will bring it to my mind. So in verse 8 it says, but I wholly follow the Lord my God. Verse 9, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And then in verse 14, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Part of it was in first person, and part of it was someone else, as it were, someone else saying that. But three times it was said that he followed wholly the Lord. Do you want the mountains when you're older? Do you want the chief joy? Do you want the approbation of God? Do you want to come to a ripe old age with joy or regret? I plead with you, I challenge you, be a Caleb. Follow wholly the Lord from this point forward, regardless of your age. Sister McAvely, your husband believed in that. He believed in following wholly the Lord. But now you go on without him, and you still have to follow wholly the Lord by his grace and by his mercy. There is no stopping place. There is no quitting place. And if I could have my choice, I would say, Lord, let me be at the top of that mountain when you call me home. I want to seek the mountains. I want to be on the mountain of God's holiness, the mountain of God's house. Up until yesterday, I had never associated the prayer of Jabez with Caleb's experience. I don't want to write a book for you this morning. I don't want to preach 4 hours to you about this prayer of Jabez. I just want to share four simple things with you. First of all, this is not one of those 4 points, but first of all, his mother bore him in sorrow. Most every child is born with sorrow. We men just don't understand. We've never understood the sorrow and pain in giving birth to a child. What a blessing our mothers are to go through that. And then as soon as the man child or woman child is born and is okay, she rejoices and forgets all about the pain and sorrow that she had. But this particularly calls attention to the fact, and the name itself means sorrowful. Jabez, the name means sorrowful. So she must have had a special travail when she bore this man child. But he was to have a great legacy. But notice, he, like Caleb, notice, though the words are different, I think the message is the same. And Jabez called on the God of Israel. See, the word mountain is not used here, but it smells of mountains all through these four things. It smells of mountains. Guess what he says? Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. And for the child of God, that means spiritual blessings. That means heavenly blessings. Your old car is going to get old and rust out one of these days. I don't care how much you polish around on it and wash it. And I'm not against that. I think it's nice. But it's going to get old. And you always consider the car, you get broke in real good, about 100,000. But along down there, about 200, depending on the car, 250, 300, 350. Somewhere down there, it begins to have a few clinks in it now and then. And it tends to kind of wear out. But the things of God don't wear out. They just get sweeter and richer. The mountain, it's up there. And the beckoning of the mountain to us. Come on up. One night, I had that sweetest experience. I was living in that big old house over there on Vance that you've been to. And we've had up to 35 people there spend the night. Kenny and Sandy got married. A bunch of people from over here came and other places. And we had one big room, wall-to-wall girls, and another one, wall-to-wall boys. We didn't have four rooms for each one of them. We just made it wall-to-wall. They were big rooms and stuff. But the special thing about all of this is that whatever, and those represent some priority need joys and blessings. I remember Kevin since a little old teenager, and listen, he's grown up to be one of the finest men. And a great ministry amongst you and others down at the camp. But we go back and look at some of the sweet memories. But listen, we're not to camp at any of those sites. We're not to camp there, but to go on. Get in that boat with the flagpole waving in the breeze, the banner of love. Get in there and stay in there. Get in the boat. And don't give up the ship. Don't give up the ship. And so, as we travel on, he's saying some very key things here in this prayer. Oh, thou wouldest bless me indeed. I'm not asking you for the real expensive car or the real expensive house or the real expensive suits and stuff. I usually buy mine at garage sales. I'll keep going until I find just what I want and give them anywhere from 50 cents to $3. And so I have no pride of ownership as far as something I got on. Somebody asked me one time, says, do you work for U-Haul? I had on a U-Haul. I said, I go to garage sales. And so, I don't. Things. We're not talking about things here. Sometimes we ask too much for things and too little for the kingdom and for our place in the kingdom and for inheritance in the kingdom. We're talking here of inheritance. That Caleb asked for a tremendous inheritance. Hebron was rich in history, it was there that he bought this land, this cave there, where he buried his wife. And that may have been the only spot that he actually owned, though God had promised him the land of Canaan, which his posterity finally moved into. And that's another thing. You and I may not be around 430 years to get in on the inheritance and to be able to ride in that gospel boat. Probably most of us won't live that long. And about the surest way that we have of spending any time and having very much joy is if we do it now. If we get in that boat and if we give ourselves wholly, like Caleb did, he gave himself wholly. And then he had something else going for him. He says his plea was when he wanted to take that mountain, he said, if thou wilt be with me, I'll drive out the enemy. Don't ever get so cocky and so full of yourself that you think you can preach or you think you can do this or that in your own strength and power. You better remember what he said, if thou wilt be with me, I will drive out the enemy. And we have a lot of enemies that need to be driven out. Right now, we have a lot of them in America. And I want to see people in the churches that I love. I want to see them enjoying mountaintop experiences. I want to see them in the rich, sweet field of the gospel, sowing seed, and then getting in on the harvest. Harvest time is wonderful. Harvest time is wonderful, but you got to sow some seed before you get into the harvest. So may you enjoy the sowing time, and may you have joy in. I really do enjoy gardening, and I even enjoy getting rid of the weeds, and because I know that it helps my plants to grow more and be more healthy if I get rid of the weeds. Enjoy that. Get rid of the weeds. Get rid of the weeds and enjoy seeing the plants grow. The plants, the planting of Lord, the plants of right, the young people that are coming on, enjoy investing in their lives. Enjoy it. And then there will come a harvest time. And isn't it wonderful? I remember one time there in Mexico, this person, she was from a real strong Catholic family, a very wealthy family. And my friend down there had been sharing the gospel with her. Every time she would say, "That is so wonderful. Tell me more." Every time. He said, "Brother Billy, I'm supposed to, unite her and my brother-in-law in marriage. We're supposed to unite her in marriage Saturday, and here it is Tuesday. She's still saying, tell me more, but she hasn't repented and she hasn't turned to God. I don't want to unite one believer with an unbeliever. I don't want to do that." And, of course, if his brother-in-law had understood some things, he wouldn't have been that far along. And then this brother wouldn't have been under so much pressure there to see something change there. And so he said, "Would you please take over in this Bible study? And would you please see if maybe God would bless you to reach her?" Oh, she hasn't rejected anything I've said. But she keeps on saying, "I need more time." You know, that's one of the oldest excuses for not doing something. It's deliberation. It's putting it off. It's procrastination. You ever done any of that? I mean, "Yeah, Lord, I'll preach someday. Yeah, Lord, I'll take this pie over to my neighbor that's sick. I'll do this or that. Someday." And we miss so much, we waste so much by making this someday kind of thing. And what we need to realize is today is the day of salvation. So I got into that. And, you know, some of the things I learned down in Latin America is that people just love to dump the big jobs on somebody else, you know. And so they do that to me sometimes. They dump some problem they didn't know how to handle and dump it on me. And so he said, "Have at it." So I began to share. I shared from Isaiah 53. I shared about the jailer. I shared about this and I shared about that. And guess what? "Oh, that's wonderful. That's beautiful. But I need more time." I said, "Okay." So I thought, "I'm going to try one more thing. I've been doing all this." And so I said, "Hey, I want to give you some scriptures and I want you to just repeat them after me. I want you to just say those scriptures. I want it to come out of your mouth." And so one of my favorite passages for somebody that hasn't repented is Psalm 51. Man, I'm telling you, that gets at it. Now, that really says it. So I said, "Well, I know that this will just be words unless you, Lord, see fit to anoint this and bless this and give it life and meaning, and that you make a real rhema out of this. Unless you do, then I know it won't accomplish what I want. But that's all I have left, Lord." That was my feeling. That was my heart. She started, and about the third or fourth scripture that came out of her mouth, she broke. And she started weeping. "I know what you've been trying to tell me. I know now what you've been trying to tell me." And she started repenting. And then she said, "I'll have nothing to do with the Roman Catholic Church again."
I'll have nothing to do with that. And she said, I know that it has, that I have lived in idolatry. And it's not just, there's not, what God helped her to see, it's not, there's not just a better way. That's a wrong way. That's a wrong way. And it's a false way. So don't think that we can go through life thinking, like somebody said, it's okay. Whatever church you're in, after all, we're all working for the same place. Have you ever heard that? Well, I'm not working for heaven. Jesus Christ has paid the price for heaven. But what I am supposed to do is work in His kingdom while I live here in this world. And when I saw the joy, that lady, at about 1 a.m, I don't know why it was, but some of the most radical conversions that I saw was after midnight. And I learned that I could get by with less sleep than I thought that I could. But it just that some of them don't ever, they don't know. They're kind of like the kids down there at the count the other night. They don't know when to go to bed. Some come in the barracks, and maybe one of them here this morning. I don't know, but I don't have any bones to pick. But right then, there's only one thing I thought about doing. 3 o'clock in the morning, after getting woke up about the second or third time, and then those kids finally got in the bed, and then about three of them started laughing. I thought it was getting one of those laughing phenomena, you know? You heard around Fort Worth there. But anyway, I know they were just thinking about something funny. I understand. They weren't trying to start a religious group there. But all I could think of was, settle down! I've said that to German shepherds, that I didn't know whether they would bite me or not, but they were coming at me, and fortunately I've had pretty good success so far. But I said, settle down, and they settled down. But I don't remember what point I was going to make on that, but I'll go on with my story, okay? When you got so much on your mind, you do had, especially when you get up within 14 years of where Caleb was. And but listen to this. Bless me indeed. That he's talking about what we need to see, and blessed indeed is the heavenly blessings. That's what I was trying to say about the cars that's going to finally, after about 350,000, start clinking. And the cheaper they're made, the less likely they're to make it to 350,000. Fix your affection, set your affection on things above, set them on the mountain, look at the mountain of God's holiness and say, God, give me that mountain. It's not just something for me, it's something for every child of God that will say, I haven't reached the peak, I want to go higher, I want to see Him high and lifted up. And I want to see His train fill the temple. I want to see that. I want to see His power, Psalm 63, I want to see His power and glory so as I've seen Thee in the sanctuary. I want a better view. Mountains is a good place to get a better view. But praise God, it's not just for young folks. Older folks can climb those mountains too. I may get to where physically I can't climb mountains like I used to, but I'm going to keep on climbing the spiritual mountains. Just as long as God will give me the grace to do it, I want to climb and I want to get up where I can see further. I can get a better view. That's how I'd really like to leave this world. But He says, enlarge my coast. Do you have the courage to say that this morning? Do you have the courage to say, God, give me this mountain? And what I'm really saying is, enlarge my coast. Give me a bigger job. Give me something more. But I tell you, Before you really are qualified to say, give me more, is have that testimony, I have followed wholly the Lord, and then acknowledge that I'll drive out the giants if you will just if you'll just be with me.
Give him all the credit and the glory and the honor, and know that if you scale the mountains, it'll be because God blessed you to do it. God blessed you to scale the mountain.
And so I believe God will enlarge your coast. He will enlarge your heart first, and then he'll enlarge the scope of your ministry. Lots of people want more power. But to have more power and see and climb the mountains better, we need more purity. That God would make us pure indeed. Bless me indeed, Lord. Bless me to have a pure heart. Bless me to have love. And if you want to see about 16 aspects of love, look at 1 Corinthians 13. I don't have time to share them, but all of them are important, every single one of them. And if you want to be in that gospel boat, and this is the kind of boat that'll go on land or sea, and it has a flagpole, and it's waving, not the American flag, but it's waving the banner of love. And may God bless you to have that desire. Don't be satisfied with where you are. Too many people are satisfied to sit. And I'm sorry, in the years I've seen people 10, 15, 20 years later, and they don't have a better view. They don't have any more knowledge of the Scriptures. They're still not having an altar in their home. They're still not reading the Scriptures. And 1 week without the Word of God will make 1 week. You hear me? And then he says, and at that hand, the next thing he says in the Jabez prayer, and that thine hand might be with me. You really need his hand, his power, his grace, every step of the way, whether you're in the valley or whether you're up on the mountains. And so that's what he was praying. Lord, I need your hand with me every step of the way. And that thou wouldest, and this is what ties in with this past week of the spiritual warfare, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil. Solomon prayed for wisdom, not money. He prayed for wisdom, and God gave him both. But what he should have been praying for is, Lord, keep me from evil. He should have included that. And you see all the things that he got into, and all the idolatry that he later, he not only tolerated these strange wives that he married to go up on the high places, he went up there with them. And the first time I saw that, I said, surely not, God. Not this wise man. Not this man that was attributed as being the wisest man of his day. Yeah, he went up on the high places. So, folks, you get your eye off of Jesus and get involved in something in some sin or something in the world or even just pursuing your job and your money. And it's your heart. It absorbs everything about you. It's fine to have a good job. But don't let that be your whole heart, because you're going to get too old to work one of these days. And I'm telling you that we need to fasten our hope. And I love that song. It's on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground, including our job, including our houses, including our car. All of it is sinking sand. But the things of God are going, if we pursue them, and if our hearts are ravished with love, it's going to get sweeter and sweeter and richer and richer. That's what I want for God's people. I want to see them in the gospel boat. I want to see them going on in the boat that will go up mountains. I want to see us in the kingdom of God. And that's what I'm really thinking, and is this analogy of the boat is the kingdom of God. Let's don't think that we're lone rangers. Let's realize that the people around us are important, and we need their fellowship. And what is fellowship? It's two or more fellows in the same ship. And so we need somebody in the boat with us.
We need the fellowship. We need the joy of seeing and that's part of where your love is going to come from. God is going to ravish you with love. He's going to ravish you with love. And your brothers and sisters are going to love you to pieces. But like Kevin said, love me, hug me, but just don't kiss me. I hope you won't take this wrong, but I know I can't go around kissing the ladies. But I think I'd have to say that I'd rather a lady kiss me than a man kiss me. I know it's just the connotation. It's just what's going on out in the world and stuff like that. I guess it makes me so sensitive to that. But our brothers and sisters are going to ravish us with love. And that's part of it, because we're in that gospel boat. We're fellowshipping. We're having the koinonia. And listen, there's nothing sweeter and better than climbing the mountain or getting in the boat or however you want to say it, and having some people that have the same desire there with you. And I'm telling you, to be in the kingdom of God, to be in the church of God, and to experience that wonderful thing together, it is like being ravished with love. The spiritual love is something you'll never get too old for. It's something that can just get sweeter and sweeter and richer and richer. And one of the reasons why I always advise young people to never have anything to do with anyone of the opposite sex that is not a committed, growing Christian. And that means somebody that has repented of their sins, somebody that's growing in Christ, somebody that's getting the Word in their hearts. And if you girls would always remember that, and that know that if you settle for anything less than a young man that has the Word in his heart, has the Word hid in his heart, that David said, "Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee," but also the Word which will illuminate our hearts and minds, and along with repentance, you are clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. I believe that you experience such a cleansing and illuminating experience in the Word of God. And when the Word lifts you up, when the Word blesses you, it's kind of like the saying, the slogan, about Coke, everything goes better with Coke. I'm not sure about that. I'm not an advocate of Coke. You go ahead and drink some if you want to, but I'm not an advocate of Coke, but I am an advocate. Things go better with Jesus. Things go better in the boat. Things go better climbing the mountains up to the house of God, to the mountain of His holiness. Make that your chief aim. Make it that your chief goal. Give me this mountain. Don't settle for the land down there. The boggy land, the boggy places of sin. Don't settle for them. Don't even let the sun go down on you in one of those boggy places. But go on to the mountains. Go on in the rich blessings of God and be ravished with His love. But you know what? In this prayer of Jabez, he said, deliver me from evil. And then he said that it may not grieve me. One of our chief aims is, God, let me behave myself and do in such a way that I'll never come to grief. What Paul said was, I may preach the gospel to others and myself be a castaway. That is, if I don't keep this body under subjection. And he got specific about that. He mortified the deeds of your body. He first started off with a list of things that are attitudes and things put away, all anger, wrath, clamor, all evil speaking. He mentioned gossiping. Don't be like the guy that said, "Oh Lord, I don't gossip. What I say about neighbors is really true." Don't be like that. Don't make jokes about gossiping. But understand, it's a serious business. It is really a serious business. And so, we need to realize that words and attitudes are so
important and like Psalm 19, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable, O God, my strength and my Redeemer. And we are, I love the old song, I'm traveling on. I love the thought of traveling in the kingdom of God, traveling up the mountain, traveling up the mountain. But when he said near the conclusion of this, and that may not grieve me, that our whole, man, our, one of our greatest prayers should be, Lord, protect me and keep me and deliver me from evil, so that I will never grieve you and grieve the Holy Spirit and come to grief my own self. But sin will take you there, brother, sister. And we ought to not just think about a camp for a week where spiritual warfare is being taught, but we need to think on and on that we apply those principles we learn and apply them and then go on to, in like he did, to reap the blessing indeed. Did he? What does it say? And God granted him that which he requested. You know why? Because he wasn't praying selfishly. He was praying a godly prayer. Those four things were godly. And those four things will help you get up the mountain. Those four things, if we get them, if God blesses us and gives us that request, listen, we can scale the highest mountain. We can come to that highest point, that highest vantage point to see Him and to see also, see God's people. We need to pray that we may see the generations to follow us. That to see them falling holy, the Lord, like Caleb did. And so we that needs to be part of our prayer. We don't need to just think what kind of view I can get, what kind of joy I can get. But Lord, give it to my brothers and sisters. That's why that I'm challenging you this morning. That's why I'm giving it to you. That's my heart. That's my desire. But I'm giving it to you over here. Have that in view. Have this in view all your days. Get mountain fever. Get mountain fever. And love fever. Desire to be ravished by God's love and by the love of God's saints. And then get mountain fever that you climb up there. You climb up there. And it's the kind of climbing that don't require you to be 7 feet tall, not even 6. And it's the kind that even guys my age can do. And you won't ever get old enough where God will say, you can't climb no more mountains. In fact, I don't want to live that long. I don't want to live long enough that I can't climb any mountains.